eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome into the Inside Carolina podcast. This is the Scoop podcast featuring Don Callahan, the number one UNC football recruiting podcast in the world. We're going to bring on Donnie Scoops now. What's going on, Don? How are you?
I am awesome. The best I've been since the coronavirus pandemic ravaged our lives. We had not only a bunch of baseball to watch, but just absolutely nonstop hockey. And I know that you're not a hockey guy, but for me, it's been heaven. From noon all the way until the time I'm going to bed, there is at least one hockey game on. So I'm loving it. And also the Flyers upset the Boston Bruins in convincing fashion to win their first round robin game, and they'll play again on Thursday. So I'm hyped. What about you, Ross?
Good stuff. Yeah, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Ross Martin. This is The Scoop.
They should know who you are. If you're listening to this and you don't know who Ross is, that's your problem.
That's right. First, a reminder, everybody, to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a quick review about how much you like The Scoop, how much you like the other podcasts Inside Carolina provides, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to them. That makes sure that all our great podcasts are in your feed immediately when they are published. I'm doing good, man. I mean, I don't even know what I want to say this, but I mean, life is it's kind of back to normal, man. I mean, I'm kind of living my life. You know, I don't really go to bars. I don't really go to restaurants. I don't get together with groups of 10 or more. So, you know, getting outside a lot, which I usually do, you know, and cooking and living and just everything has changed. It's kind of work and how football is going to be. So, hey, I mean, I know a lot of people are affected, but right now it just feels like I'm just living life, and that's how I'm approaching it. Reduce the risk, mask up. Try to, you know, socially distance and it's going to be here.
Wash your hands. Make sure you wash your hands. You should have been washing your hands before the pandemic, but make sure you wash your hands.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it here. This is The Scoop. First of all, Don, what'd you think about our last episode in the comments received? That was when I responded to all the haters on the message boards, the PC, the PC police, the people trying to limit what we can say and talk about and getting on us for trying to be funny. What do you think of the response?
So the one thing I do want to, I feel like that we kind of lost a little bit is that we, and I think I'm speaking for both of us. We definitely want the constructive criticism. We want to get better all the time. And that even though it was negative and it definitely perturbed Ross, the feedback was great, and we will make some adjustments because of that. So I don't want to make anyone feel like they can't give us any sort of feedback. And obviously, I definitely was thoroughly entertained by Ross's rants on the last podcast.
That was really good.
I was worried. I was worried about the backlash. There was no backlash on the message board. And I was also worried that if Buck or Ben heard it, I'm curious, have you received any sort of feedback from Buck or Ben? Because those are the people that their opinions matter more than anyone else.
I have not. And hopefully.
No conversations whatsoever.
Hopefully it stays that way. Hey, I thought I was fair. I thought I was, yeah, of course we want some positive criticism, but some stuff we're not going to take. It's our podcast. And you try to control what we say and what we do. And of course, we don't want to be mean. We don't want to make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But so we'll keep
certain. Yeah, that was the one thing is like if, you know, I could see how some of our stuff might veer in certain areas, but for the most part, our intention is not to harm anyone's feelings.
Yeah.
And so if anyone was uncomfortable or anything like that, that wasn't the goal. And we'll adjust those sort of things when it comes to that. The problem is like we're in this culture where there are definitely issues that need to be handled and people are getting offended and are finally standing up and taking a stance, which is great. And I think that's awesome. I support that.
But I'm Don Callahan. I'm running for governor of North Carolina.
No, but on this, but the same, along with that, you definitely have people who are just want to be offended just to be offended. And there is a difference. I'm not saying there's definitely things out there that people being said that are being said that are definitely offensive. But, you know, I received, now let me just ask you this, okay? So my weekly scoop, it was describing Dakota Twitty, who has dreadlocks, that he actually has dyed the tips of them. And I was describing that.
I just read that, and I thought about that.
Okay, so
what'd you get?
So somebody sent me a message saying that dreadlocks are offensive to people. Now, I'm not saying that I disagree, or I don't know. That's the first time I've ever heard of that. So is the term dreadlocks, is that offensive?
So I guess you have to think about why they call it dreadlocks. Do you know why?
I do not. I did do a quick like Google search, but it was like, you know, there's like places that are said, get your dreadlocks, you know, taken care of or whatever. I don't have dreadlocks, so I don't know.
Okay,
so I'm trying to learn that, you know, I'm not trying to be ignorant on this, or I am ignorant on it. So I'm trying to learn. I'm not trying to be rude about this at all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's offensive because I think that's what they're called. And I'm reading here. It's a religious movement. And they're called dreads because they signify they had dread, fear, or respect for God. Whatever this group of people was. I think it's Jamaican, and there's some Hindu culture behind it and some religious stuff. Of course, this is not. I mean, I'm literally reading this right now. The holy men grew matted hair, locks of hair that became known as dreadlocks, or the hairstyle dreads. Soon after, they you know, kind of the Rastafarian influence as well, the term dreadlock stuck. So that's what they're called. I mean, I think people see that and they have a certain connotation that goes with it, but I don't know
how else to describe that sort of haircut.
Yeah. I mean, the braids or something like that. I don't know. It's two white guys talking about this, so who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, let's get into it. That's a good point. I mean, people won't get offended. And I, like I said, rant. I mean, I talk in a – I am not PC. But I do not want to people feel uncomfortable, but so hopefully we can learn from that.
There are definitely things out there that are definitely offensive that need to be fixed in this world.
Yeah.
I don't want to just say I'm pushing that aside or anything. I mean, you know, anything that's, you know,
yeah.
People's sexual orientation, their race, anything like that, that's not cool.
You're correct. My goal is to entertain, and that's what I'm here to do. And sometimes stuff that I say is a gray line. All right, moving on. Let's get into it, guys. We actually have a big podcast here. A lot of things to talk about. We're doing it. We were going to skip this week, but some news happened. Jared Wilson, 6'4", 325 pound, Winston-Salem native, committed to UNC in April. He decommitted on Monday and then flipped his commitment back to Georgia. We're going to get into that. Don had that story over the weekend, and then it became official. On Monday, sorry. And then we're going to talk about the other options there for UNC. Who do they go after to fill that spot? They need a kind of an interior lineman or another offensive lineman to fill that spot. So we're going to dive into who UNC targets. Excuse me, the Tar Heels are down to, I guess, 16 commitments. And, of course, they're trying to get to that 19-20 mark. We'll also get into what remains in the 2021 class. There's some targets. There's some stuff from the scoop about Evan Pryor, about Bryson Nesbitt. So we're going to ask Don kind of what else is going on here. You know, it's August right now. August, September, October, November, December is the national signing day. So, you know, this is when it really ramps up. But UNC is still at a good place right now. And then we're going to talk anything else. The Gunnar Stockton news, I think, is significant. We're going to get into that a little bit as well. And then we'll close out the podcast there. I'm just going to tease it here, Don. I know you just messaged me, but we may have a special interview. We're still trying to see if that works out through text and phone calls. So we won't say who it is in case it doesn't happen, but it's in the works to bring on a person to interview midway through this podcast. Sound good, Don?
Yes, sounds good. And that's just kind of what we deal with having a lot of people love having guests, us having guests. The problem is that there's just so much technical issues, schedules, reminding people, all that sort of stuff that goes into it behind the scenes that makes it sometimes difficult to actually have the guest.
Okay, let's get into it. Jared Wilson. Don, why did he decommit?
I guess from what I've gathered, it sounds like it was just he always liked Georgia, and the situation with Georgia, because he was – let me just backtrack. He was committed to Georgia. I think he committed to Georgia last November, decommitted in February, and then in April committed to North Carolina. From what I've gathered from talking to people close to him, Georgia has always been the place that he wanted to go to, but when Sam Pittman left Georgia's staff to become the head coach at Arkansas, that created a lot of uncertainty, a lot of, not knowing what was going on, which I guess is also uncertainty, but just uneasy feeling towards Georgia. And so he wanted to kind of look over things. And then you throw in the fact that, so he takes some visits to kind of, I guess, gain some control and gain some feelings on where he wanted to go. And then you had the pandemic come in and cancel all those visits. And then you had all these in-state guys committing to North Carolina, and it kind of just, forced him into a commitment. And then I think once Georgia got its footing and once he was able to establish a relationship with Georgia's new offensive line coach, Matt Luke,
right, who was the Ole Miss coach.
Yes.
And I think was at Duke as well for a period of time.
Yeah, and then so then obviously he made it made him comfortable with that situation at Georgia, and so he flipped back. That's what I gather. I haven't been able to speak directly to Jared.
I remember reading, I guess it was your scoop or kind of the background on the commitment about how he wanted to stay close because he's got young brothers and he wants to see them grow up. And, Winston-Salem's about 90 minutes from Chapel Hill. Any thoughts on lied to you.
Well, not necessarily, because when I was doing that interview with him, I did ask him, I said, was Georgia close enough? Did you feel Georgia was close enough? And he said, yes. And, Georgia's, I make the trip. I don't make it all the time, but I mean, I make the trip to Georgia a few times a year.
It's drivable. It's drivable.
Yeah, it's definitely drivable. Not only do I go there for work purposes, but my mother-in-law lives in Georgia, and my daughter's mother lives in Georgia too. So, it's definitely not a difficult drive to do.
Yeah, I'd love a whole podcast to dive into your family dynamics, but
really not as interesting as you think. But the one thing I will kind of throw out there, this is I don't know if it's breaking news, but just a little behind the scenes. So we had to actually, at the 11th hour, it wasn't really, I guess, 11th hour, but it was over the weekend, we had to kind of change up the plans for the weekly scoop. One of the things with the weekly scoop is that it's actually like a full week that it takes me to kind of write this and put this together. So initially, the weekly scoop topic was going to be this deep dive into the announcement of the commitments of Ra-Ra Dilworth and Jarrett Wilson. And so imagine my...
And what went into it and everything?
Yes, yes. So, and, talk to obviously those two and their mothers and all this. And this is something that had been in the works for like a couple months, really, and just didn't have – I wanted to release the Inside the Commitments on the two first and then go with this. Yeah, I didn't foresee Jarrett decommitting. So, obviously, I had to completely change my plans on, I guess it was Friday when we kind of started to kind of hear that this was going down. But fortunately, it made it easy to kind of just dive into what happened with Jared.
Comment on the board reaction to the Jared Wilson decommitment? Any comments?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. After I usually most posts, after I post a story or whatever, I'll read like the first like page or two. And then afterwards it usually kind of turns into, fights or arguments or pissing matches or whatever. And so when I posted the information on Jarrett Wilson decommitting, I looked at, right? You got to put your mic down.
Saturday morning, right?
Yeah, I checked the first page or two, and then okay. afterwards I didn't look, but I had heard that it turned into this completely separate fight that required the post to be locked, which is just really unfortunate. I had no idea what it was about. I mean, do you have a comp? I mean, do you know what was going back and forth on there?
I can't even keep it straight because there was one about when he committed to Georgia, and then the one about then your weekly scoop one, and then the initial one. I don't know. I get on the message board sometimes. Sometimes I don't. All right. Okay. So Jerry Wilson, you know, it feels like you said they're going to still recruit him. It just feels like he's gone. And I'm surprised that he went back to Georgia, because the general thought is when you decommit from a school, rarely do you commit back to that school.
Yeah, that's typical.
But this one was a little coaching situation. So it wasn't that he fell out of favor or got cut from Georgia's list. It was that the coach that was recruiting him left. And so once the relationship with Matt Luke got developed, you know, he felt better about Georgia.
Yeah, and I'm speculating on this, but my guess is that there might have been some feelings of, does he want me sort of thing. You know, and so
does Matt Luke want me?
You know, gotcha. Because he's going to be my position coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's yeah. So a big my
take,
part of that.
My take is here. A lot of people are like, oh, it's not a big loss. You know, we're UNC. We can recruit anybody we want. I mean, it's an in-state guy. He's 6'4", 325. They wanted him. He's athletic. He's got great feet. He's a great size for offensive guard. He's athletic. Obviously, Georgia wants him. People were like, man, what? It's not really a big loss. I mean, I think it's a significant loss. It's a guy you wanted that was in state, and you got to get those guys. And yeah. In my opinion, it's a significant loss for UNC. You know, it's a guard, so is it truly a position of, you know, super, super elite need? No, but you'd rather have him than you know, probably who else they're going for, because there's a reason why they targeted him and tried to flip him from Georgia, or tried to, you know, get him to commit after he decommitted from Georgia.
Yeah, and he's so good that UNC's initial goal for this class was to take two offensive tackles, but the staff liked him so much that they were willing to take him, a true guard, in lieu of another offensive tackle.
Yeah, you need those big, big road grading yards. I'm not sure if Malik McGowan is going to be the guy. Dude's got to lose some weight. All right, he just took a ricochet shot for me. Sorry, Malik. All right. Okay, so where does UNC turn now? They are going after offensive linemen. Obviously, all right, so Diego Pounds was offered yesterday. There's a couple other names out there. Why don't you start, and we'll get into where UNC turns to fulfill the need that is now vacated by Wilson's exit to Athens.
Well, I think that we can probably, if we're just don't want to waste anybody's time, we can probably begin and end this conversation with Diego Pounds for the time being. By the time everybody listens to this, there will be an update with an interview with Diego Pounds on Inside Carolina. So definitely check that out.
That'll be for premium subscribers.
Premium subscribers.
We're running a 50% off membership sale right now for Inside Carolina.
I'm glad you know those things, because I don't. Yeah. Outside of him, and like I said, I mean, I think I expect UNC to go. I'm
news
sorry.
Here, I got some news here.
No, well, I got some new podcast related news. Okay. I don't know how you want me. I lost my train of thought. Oh, so I think North Carolina is going to go full steam ahead with Diego Pounds, but. Yeah. You know, some other guys that they're looking at. There were a bunch of guys that UNC told that they were full once Jarrett Wilson committed. And I think that UNC is going to definitely kind of kick the tires on those guys to see if, hey, you know, can we get back in with you sort of thing. We cover all that in the weekly scoop, so definitely check it out.
Yeah, I mean, so Diego Pounds real quickly. He's from Raleigh. He goes to Millbrook High School. 6'6", 305. He's highly ranked. I mean, he's a little bit lesser ranked than Wilson, but he's the number 428 nationally, number 36 offensive tackle. You know, with that size, you can probably play both tackle or guard, as long as he's athletic enough. Quickly, Don, what do you think about, you know, him as a player, what he could bring, and why UNC is now going after him? Great offer list as well, Penn State, Virginia Tech, LSU. I don't know how many of these are committable, but, you know, he has a lot of national interest in terms of offers.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of tools. You know, obviously, you know, 6'3", 300 pounder.
6'6".
6'6", I'm sorry.
Is that right?
6'6". Yeah, 6'6". No, you're right. Okay. I'm trying to do a couple things at once. My brain's a little scrambled. 6'6", 300 something pounds. long arms, moves really well, has a basketball background. You know, the one reason why I didn't rank him all that high in my in-state rankings, I wanted to see a little bit more physicality out of him. You know, for such a big kid, I wanted to see him bury some guys a little bit more, dominate a little bit more, because obviously the guys he's going up against in high school are significantly weaker than the guys he'll go up against in college. But he definitely has a lot of the tools that necessary to play left tackle or play offensive tackle. I should say, I shouldn't just limit him to left tackle, offensive tackle on the college level.
Great. And you like those guys who can kind of do both with that size, as long as you're athletic enough to get out and pull and can get low on blocks and stuff. You know, looking at his offer list, you know, he's got everybody, it seems like. So, all right, cool. So, other names, you know, Colby Smith is one that comes to mind for me. In-state guy, committed to Tennessee. Colby Smith is 6'7", 270. Offensive tackle, could maybe play guard as well. Wanted to go to UNC, I believe, when they were fully committed to Tennessee. So, obviously, an SEC caliber player. Thoughts on Colby Smith? Anything significant?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that UNC told they were full. And I've been a big fan of Colby Smith. UNC obviously feels a little bit differently than what I do. And, you know, I'm always going to, you know, defer to them. But he's a guy that I love his athleticism. I love his size. I love his game. He's going to Tennessee. So that's a guy that you kind of have to say, hey, you know, we were full last time. We were honest with you about what was going on with us. We can't take everybody. Now things opened up. Give us a chance, sort of thing.
Hey, and he's Rockingham County, you know, from Reidsville, North Carolina. You know, he has plenty of time until he signs. So, you know, there's definitely time to work on that relationship if that's where UNC wants to go. And that's how Colby Smith, I mean, he had love for UNC initially, is the general sentiment there. Okay, anything on Mugabill?
Yeah, so I think
– what's his name? Can you pronounce his full name?
Yusuf Mugabill.
Okay, from Murphy, North Carolina, I believe.
Yeah, Murphy, North Carolina. You know whose home is that? Murphy, North Carolina?
Who?
Someone that you are really close friends with. John Siegley.
Nice.
And actually the two families know each other.
I bet so. That's a small town. It's where
I believe Mugabill's father is one of the few doctors in that area.
There you go. Maybe Mugabill's father delivered John Siegley.
Maybe
out of his mother's womb.
Maybe Mugabill's father performed never mind. Anyway,
weirdo.
Anyway, so the situation with him, I think he's one of those guys that the pandemic affected in a negative way, affected his recruitment in a negative way. He didn't take a whole lot of visits. He took some last offseason and was planning on taking a bunch. And it actually may kind of help him end up at NC State because two of his brothers are, I think one graduated from NC State and the other the other is a student there. And so obviously the family's going to feel comfortable with NC State, especially in these times of, you know, so I think that kind of helps with NC State. And that's going to be difficult to overcome for North Carolina.
All right. Well, keep us in the loop, Don, on this obviously interesting recruitment with the offensive line spot opening up. UNC down to 16 commitments. We are going to now talk about Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. Before we get into that, you know, coming up, we're going to bring on a guest, right, Don?
That's the hope. That's okay. The hope.
I'm going to tease it, all right? Well, you all just right. Need to come on, right? 5 minutes?
Yeah, but if he doesn't come on, then we're going to have to redo this portion.
All right, coming on next, we have the father of Tony Grimes. Deion Glover is going to join the podcast to talk all about, you know, his son, Tony Grimes, development, recruitment, why he picked UNC, what kind of player he can be in 2020. And future, you know, goals for Tony. Tony Grimes, obviously an elite corner prospect. Before we bring on Mr. Glover, we'll talk to you about Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. They are our sponsor for the Inside Carolina podcast, right on Franklin Street and online at GiantT-Shirt.com. Make sure you use the premium discount code. That's 10% off, found on the message boards, both in basketball and football. Get everything you need there. I mean, I looked at their Instagram page recently, tons of stuff. tailgating stuff, t-shirts, sweatshirts, pants, jerseys, you know, little gifts. If you need something for your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, there's plenty of gifts, you know, under the $20 mark. You know, you can use that discount code, load up on gifts, and get everybody stuff for Christmas or for birthdays. Johnny T-shirt and GiantT-shirt.com. Great customer service. Very local. It's sad to see a lot of places close on Franklin Street. Restaurants closing left and right. We need to support the local small businesses that are owned locally. So Johnny T-shirt's one of those. So GiantT-shirt.com and Giant T-shirt on Franklin Street. Make sure you use that premium discount code given to Inside Carolina subscribers. All right, guys, we'll be right back, hopefully, with Dion Glover, the father of Tony Grimes.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
And we're back on The Scoop, presented to you by Inside Carolina and JohnnyT-shirt.com. We have a very special guest. We are joined by the father of UNC freshman cornerback Tony Grimes. We're going to introduce Dion Glover, or Coach Glover. What's going on, Coach?
How's it going? It's a pleasure to meet you guys. Pleasure to be on here.
That's awesome, man. Obviously, we're going to dive some questions here about Tony, about the recruitment, about UNC, and really get into it here for the next 10, 15 minutes or so. We're going to turn it over to Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, so for those of you who aren't watching us on YouTube and are just listening to us on the podcast, Coach Glover is decked out in UNC gear, bought a lot of it in Chapel Hill, and he's also driving, so hopefully we don't have an accident while we're doing this. So, yeah,
he just switched the hat from one hat to another UNC hat.
Yeah, yeah. So the UNC fans are going to love this. Now, do you know, Coach, that you have developed quite a cult following on the message boards for Inside Carolina fans?
No, I didn't know that. I hope it's good.
Yes. No, it's very good. Everybody loves your Twitter game, as Ross mentioned off air. And I guess just, you know, preaching North Carolina and all that sort of stuff. So,
it's easy to do. It's easy to do.
So let me just get into it. You know, you had a, you know, your son Tony had a very, I guess, long recruitment. I mean, he's been recruited since his eighth grade year. How did you guys kind of just tackle this massive recruitment? And he had offers all over the place. How did you guys do it?
Well, for one, I learned a lot about the recruiting process with his older brother. We back in 2000, from 2010 to 2014. I learned a lot, a ton. And I said that I made a lot of mistakes. I wasted a lot of resources and time. And I said that when, if Tony or Tino decided to take football serious and it was time to start the recruiting process, we was gonna approach it different. And that's what we did. So when Tony got his first offer in the eighth grade, I knew exactly what to do.
Okay. Who was that first offer from?
Virginia Tech. Okay. Virginia Tech offered first, and then Maryland offered. He wasn't even in high school yet. And then there was Bryant, and then UVA offered, and then I think Michigan came in, Rutgers came in, Texas A&M came in, Oklahoma came in. This is all – he had like 15 to 16 big, really big offers in the ninth grade.
What were some of the things that you learned the first go around that you wanted to make sure that you followed this time with Tony?
One, never chase an offer. Never, ever chase an offer. I think that's a mistake that a lot of recruits make, because when you, I mean, it's fine to get one. You want one. You want to go to college for free. But when you get that one, focus on that one. You know what I'm saying? Don't just say, well, and that's what a lot of recruits miss. They miss, I have to recruit the school back. I have to get to know the coaching staff, the program, get to learn the personality of the program. And that's going to help you pick and choose your school when the time comes. But recruits get so caught up in chasing offers that they forget to recruit the school. And you wonder why you see kids posting, well, I'm committing to the University of XYZ. And then 3 months later, well, I'm decommitting from the University of XYZ. It's not that you're decommitting. Sometimes the schools, they don't want you. Now you got to go somewhere else. That's the dirty truth.
So we're definitely getting to more about his recruitment. Obviously, when he's become a sophomore and junior, and things really ramped up. But can you kind of go back and talk about, you know, Tony's development as a player? You said he was recruited in eighth grade, got offers. You know, when did you realize, you know, he was an elite prospect and would really develop into what he's become today? Can you kind of talk us through Grimes' development as a player?
Yeah, once he got his first offer from Virginia Tech when he was in the eighth grade, we started training immediately. We went over, look, I said, what do you want out of this, son? What do you want? He said, well, I want to be the best corner in the country. And I said, well, it's going to take X, Y, Z to get there. You're going to have to do this. It's going to be a lot of sacrifice. You're going to have to make some changes. You're going to have to, you know, give up some friends, and it's going to be uncomfortable for you. But if you want the number one spot, these are the things that you're going to have to do. And Tony, without question, locked in. He started to make the necessary changes. He started doing everything he needed to do, workout-wise, academic-wise. He started doing everything that was necessary for him to get to that spot. And we worked hard day and night in the gym. He was so locked in on his academics. You know, he started making those changes, you know, not everything his friends did, he didn't do. And it started to pay off. He started to see the offers roll in. And we started, ninth grade year, we started working on skill set. His skill set, you know, a lot of people are talented, athletically talented, but the thing that's going to get you, make you play on Sundays is the skill set to your position. And so I was training him, and I had another DB coach that was training him with his skill set. And then when Tony became a sophomore, I added another DB coach in. So his trainer is Giovanni Ruffin, and then we had another trainer, Aaron Johnson. He kind of worked on transitional stuff, drills and things of that nature. And then, you know, me and my other guy, Lee, we worked on skill set stuff. And he started to pick it up. He started to develop. And, I mean, faster than I thought he, you know, corner is one of the hardest positions to play on the field. You know, he started to pick it up and learn it. And it was evident every time he went to camp, he shut the camp down, you know. And we made sure he went up against great competition. He trained with guys from the league, you know, guys like Tyquan Mizell. He went up against competition that was out of his league. But that's the only way you're going to get better.
So what stood out to you about what made you think that Tony had the potential to be an elite player? Was it his size? Was it that drive, that work ethic? Was his athletic ability? What's the one thing that really you think drew the attention of you, or, you know, coaches and recruits early in age that made you think he could be that number one corner?
Well, I knew he was going to be elite when I saw him lock in.
Okay.
You know, my other sons, they all played football, you know. Aaron went to Liberty, he played. DeAndre, he played. But here's the thing. You have to have a special focus for this sport. You mm-hmm. really do. I mean, because it's not just going out on the field and running up and down the field performing. It's the off-the-field stuff that matters the most. And when I saw him making the sacrifices, I knew he was going to be elite without question. I knew it. I said, you know what? That focus for academics, that focus for time management, You know what I'm saying? I'm just lining things up, putting things in order, being regimented. I knew it. I knew it then. I said, he's going to be elite. I said, he has the mindset for it. And that's what most players fail at. They fail at that mindset. You know what I'm saying? The character. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have any character, any focus, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Your yeah. talent will take you there, but your character won't keep you there.
I tell Don that all the time. Got to have character, Don.
That's right.
Gotta have it. And I knew, I saw it. That's what was separating him. You know what I'm saying? Because you see a lot of guys fail. They have the talent and the ability, but, you know, when it's time to, you know, to focus on the academic side, when it's time to focus on the training, you know, you see a lot of these guys, they become prima donnas. They want everything their way. And, you know, I coached them harder and harder, harder than the other kids. And, you know, he understood. He understood. He knew what time it was, you know, because I told him these are the things that you're going to go through. When you get to college, it's not going to be no five-star this, five-star that. Nobody's going to roll a carpet out for you. Nobody's going to do this and do that. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to get out there. You're going to have to grind for it. You have to compete for it. So that's the mindset that he has.
There you have. Don?
Yeah. Going back to the recruitment stuff, one of the key pieces to UNC landing, Tony, was Dre Bly. And one story that Tony shared with me was that he said that UNC really didn't recruit him all that much until Bly joined the staff. And he actually got the phone call from Bly. I think Tony was visiting another school, and that's when Bly offered him. What was it like? I mean, because I'm sure, you know, everybody kind of idolizes Dre Bly a little bit, but in that area, he's a legend. In your area, he's a legend. What's that like having your son recruited by Dre Bly?
Well, at first, we were wondering why North Carolina never came in. They had came in, and I knew they were going through some staff changes. But they, you know, we was like, why is North Carolina? And, you know, we didn't worry too much about it. You know what I'm saying? Because
you don't chase offers.
Yeah, we don't chase offers. So, yeah. You know, but, you know, North Carolina is like an in-state school, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And usually the in-state schools or the schools that's closest to you will offer first before, you know, the schools abroad will offer. That's usually how it happens. And if the in-state schools don't offer, usually the out-of-state schools won't offer you. They'll wait till the in-state schools offer you. But, you know, North Carolina is like an in-state school to us. So we were wondering why they didn't offer, but we wasn't, you know, stressing it. So when the staff change happened and, you know, Coach Dre started to recruit the area, he was kind of like, who's the top corners? He really didn't know who Tony was. It was funny because I'll be like, Coach, man, what's going on? How you doing? When you going to come by Princess Anne? We got players, man. We got players. You know, and he'll say, oh, yeah. You know, when the time come, I'm going to slide through there. And I guess he was doing his research, you know what I'm saying, building up to that point. So we were on a recruiting trip, me and Tony, and we were doing like a tour. We were doing Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Texas, TCU. We was doing a tour. So in the middle of the tour, or on our way to Texas, he called me and he said, look, man, I gotta get y'all on campus. And I said, we ain't making no unnecessary trips, Coach. You know what I'm saying? Are you guys serious or you not? And it's like, he said, no, we serious, man. He said, we got him on our board. And I said, well, look, I'm gonna tell you what's going to happen. I said, in a couple of days, he's going to drop his top 10. I said, and this is true. You guys can kind of go back and research it. I said, in a couple of days, he's going to drop his top 10. I said, so you know what I mean? Dre, now I'm talking to Dre Bly now. Yeah. Y'all want to be in that top 10, trust me. So he said, I'm going to call you back. He called me back 5 minutes later and said, okay, we're going to offer him. So when Tony dropped the top 10, guess who was in the top 10?
North Carolina.
You better know it. I mean, Dre Bly. Dre Bly. So after that, it was easy peasy. The recruiting just picked up and picked up and picked up. And we started just forming this relationship. And it's been great ever since, you know.
What are some other coaches that stood out? We know that Bly was a huge part of the recruitment. You know, your interactions with Mac Brown or Jay Bateman, how did that go with the other coaches involved in recruiting Tony?
Them guys are phenomenal. Mac Brown and Jay, they're phenomenal. I preach, man, UNC, I put UNC staff up against anybody in the country. I mean, really. I know Mac's not going anywhere. I know Dre's not going anywhere. I hope, you know, I got a feeling they're going to try to come and get Jay. You know, because he's gifted. I mean, he one of the top dogs. He is the man. You know what I'm saying? And those guys are phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. The character, just the, being personable, it's not a show. I done seen shows before. I done seen the song and Pony Dance. I done seen it all. I'm telling you, these guys are just as authentic and real as they come. And it's some conversations we've had, man, that just make me – I knew actually before Tony knew. I kept telling my wife, I could say, you know what? I'm telling you. He might mess around and pick North Carolina. I'm telling you, he might. He the way him and Dre vibe, and the way the coaching staff, the way the vibe is, that's he might choose them. You know, I mean, it's just that real. Those guys, they're awesome. They're awesome. You know, you can't, and it's evident. Look at what they did in their first year. Just look at what they did in their first year. All the games they lost, it was only by 2, 3, or 7 points. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
With a team that the first year, you know what I'm saying? You're talking about a Hall of Fame coach coming his first year with a team that he did not choose. Now, he didn't recruit that team. The staff didn't recruit that team. But they came in the first year and they went to a bowl game. What does that say? They play an elite powerhouse team like Clemson, who I don't want to hear nobody say, oh, Clemson, they was looking past. No. When they get on the field, they step on the field to beat and demolish every team they play. They was ready to play North Carolina. And it wasn't a beat and demolish type of game. It was double overtime. You won by 1 point. You understand what I'm saying? Now, imagine a whole full cycle of this staff with this program. Now they can incorporate some of the players that they did recruit. Imagine what's going to happen next year.
Well,
Clemson down. We're taking Clemson down. We are. It's inevitable. I'm telling you, it's written.
I'm going to clip that comment, and I'm gonna put that comment on Twitter with what you just said. That was good recruiting ploy there. Okay, so we'll stay on Bateman here. How do you think Bateman and Bly are going to use your son?
Oh God. Oh man. They're gonna put him in the best position to be successful. They've already got a plan for him. He's gonna play in the boundary. Tony is so he's so gifted. And even if you guys talk, they'll tell you. I mean, he's already picked up two or three installments already. He's already picked up some installments already. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna use him in the boundary. I think the first year or two. And then probably move him around the field a little bit, safety nickel, you know what I'm saying, just to kind of make him a little bit versatile. You know, the NFL like versatile players. So, but I think his strength is going to be playing in the boundary. And God knows he's going to kill it. He's going to kill it.
Yeah, and kind of studying his recruitment, they always say, I mean, he's a lockdown corner. He's a guy who can take the best receiver and lock down that side of the field, which allows the defense coordinator to do so many more things because they understand that side of the field is kind of blocked off to the offense. So, I mean, that's my take someone who hasn't played football.
I mean, it's like Darrell Revis. He don't have safety help over top.
Yeah.
Grimes, you know what I'm saying?
Grimes Island.
And that's real. That's real. You know, and the quarterback got to be phenomenal. Whoever's throwing the ball, if it's great coverage, I mean, the quarterback got to be on the money. You know, and I put my money on Tony on the jump ball. No receiver's catching it.
All right, Don.
As a coach, I put my money on him.
Now, on the topic of him learning this defense already, what kind of allowed that to happen was the fact that he reclassified. And I know now it seems like a super smart decision because Virginia has moved the football season to the spring. But at the time when you guys had to make that decision, because you knew you were dealing with a very small window there, there was uncertainty. There was still a chance that you were going to have football in the fall in Virginia. Making that decision, I mean, it's tough because I'm sure that now Tony told me, I asked him this question and he told me that, you know, he would have been fine going to North Carolina, even though the season was played, the high school season was going to be played in the fall. But for you guys, I mean, how difficult was it to kind of make that little bit of a gamble and kind of, you know, make the decision to reclassify and potentially miss the, you know, his senior season?
Well, as parents, you always want your kids to get the full and benefit out of high school. You know what I'm saying? You want them to have the experience of the prom and, you know, he earned the right to go to the All-American Under Armour bowl game. And you wanted him to, you know, you wanted him to do that. And you wanted him to just, you know, his last season of high school, play with his friends, finish what he started. You know what I'm saying? You don't want him to be cheated out of that, but you have to be flexible, especially, you know, when COVID hit. And then he positioned himself academically to give himself some options. So we had to start considering those options. You know, the VHSL was up in the air. They didn't know. And then I had a friend that gave me some information and said, hey, look, man, you know what? You might want to start really considering, you know what I'm saying, San Antonio school now. I don't think they're going to play. So we had a conversation as a family about it. And me, my wife, Tony, you know, and his brother, we conversated about it. So what do you want to do? And Tony was like, well, I want to play with my friends, but you know, Pop, if it's not going to be a season, you know, I want to just get into school, you know, and a lot of people, you know, I mean, you know, he should stay, you know, even if he doesn't play, he should stay anyway. And Tony was like, no, I want to go and I want to get acclimated to the system. You know what I'm saying? And then I told him, I said, listen, it's a win. If you leave now, son, you can't lose. There's no way you can lose. I mean, you're already be a year vested. If they cancel the football season for college sports, you understand what I'm saying? You get that season back anyway. You get that year eligibility back anyway because it's due to the COVID. You understand what I'm saying? And you're a year closer to your dream, being in the NFL. I said you get to play in the college system. You get to learn the playbook early. You get to go ahead and bump ahead academically. You can't lose. And he was like, I want to go. So I said you know we prayed about it and we felt like that's what God was saying. So we moved ahead, you know. And guess what happened? A week later, the news came out that they was gonna cancel the season. And what's crazy is he had one class left, gentlemen.
Yeah.
And the school board allowed him the flexibility to work ahead, and he did it in a week and a half.
Mm. Well, and that speaks to, you know, his
work ethic.
When that speaks to the work ethic off the field of Tony, because, you know, and making sure he had all of his ducks in a row, because there were a lot of other, I know, like Ra-Ra Dilworth, Dontavius Nash, they all looked into trying to graduate early too, but they had too many classes to get done in such a short amount of time. It just wasn't an option for them. But Tony, you know, because he took care of business in the classroom, he was able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and that's one of the things I learned from my other son. When Tony started high school, I went to the guidance counselor and I started moving stuff around. They set a course guide for him. And I said, no, take this out, take that out, put this in. Yeah. That's exactly what I did. I said, nope, he's not going to take that. He's going to take this. He's going to take classes that are weighted classes that means something, you know what I'm saying, to the NCAA. And he, this is what's funny. He almost graduated anyway. Mm-hmm. September, they said, I talked to the guidance counselor. She said, Mr. Glover, she said, listen, we got to push one of these classes. And she said this to me in January before the COVID hit. She said, we got to push one of these classes into next year because he was going to take dual enrollment classes. She said, because if not, Tony's going to graduate now. I said, what you mean? She said, all he needs is one class. And you guys, at the rate you're going, he's going to be out of school this year. Mm-hmm. Don't he want to play football next year? And I said, oh, okay. So I said, let's push that one class into next year. He would have graduated anyway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's great. I mean, it worked out well. It seems he's going to have a full year ahead in terms of getting the NFL and strength and conditioning and learn the system, you know, depending on what happens this season, but he'll be better because of getting into a higher level program earlier and getting ready.
Yes.
yeah. So, I mean, it was a discussion, you know, what's best for UNC, what's best for your son. And obviously getting the UNC overall is clearly the best decision now. All right. So you were in Chapel Hill this week. I think y'all moved in Sunday, I believe. And, you know, I think he moved in his dorm on Monday. And so he's going to be geared up to go Thursday for training camp. What was that like? What was it like dropping your son off at school? You said you went to the student stores, you know, moving in the dorm. As well, as that all like? Can you kind of talk about that?
It was exciting, man. We got there. Actually, we moved in Sunday evening.
Okay.
We got there, moved him in. We went shopping here before we left, you know, just for the necessary things they was going to need. But some things we waited till we got down there because I didn't want to load up refrigerators and microwaves and all that stuff inside the back of the truck. So we bought that when we got there. When we got there, Tony, I want some UNC stuff. I want flags. I want this rugs. I want, you know, his whole room is I'm going to actually post it on Twitter. His whole room is UNC decked out now. I'm serious. It was exciting. The staff was great. Joe, Kyra, everybody, mm-hmm. Dre, the staff is phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. If you're an athlete and you don't go to UNC, you have your head checked.
love it.
I'm serious. I'm serious because what everybody is looking for in a program, they have it. And you're not hearing it from somebody that has visited maybe once or twice to a school. You're hearing it from somebody that's been to all the schools 3 to 6 times a piece throughout Tony's entire recruiting. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've talked to him. I've met with him. I've done it. So this is the choice right here. This is the choice.
What do you think? What sort of impact do you think that Tony's going to have on the Tar Heels defense this season?
2020.
If we have a season.
I'm confident we're going to have one. I am. I'm extremely confident we're going to have one. But I think that I think it's going to have an impact. I mean, I'm an immediate impact. You know, it's a lot of competition. He's got to go out there and compete. Nobody promised him anything. But knowing the type of person he is, he's gonna be tremendously impactful, I believe. You know, I mean, when he steps on that field, you know, he has a tendency to coast some time, and you know, he's been prepped for this his whole life, just his whole high school career, going up against NFL players, going up against guys like Greg Dortch with the St. Louis Rams, going up against guys like Tyquan Mizell, you know what I'm saying, with the New Orleans Saints. Playing against these guys day in, day out, going up against colleges. He's ready. He's ready for this. He's ready. Trust me. I know he's a year early, but he's ready to compete because we don't train for college. We train for the league.
Love it. Yeah, and I mean, you look at him, he's physically ready. You know, 6 foot, 180, probably put on a couple more pounds, but he's already pretty sculpted and physically there in terms of muscle and everything. But, you know, you look at the depth chart, and I think – if you could have more players at one position, cornerback is that position because Jay Bateman wants to use 6 defensive backs. They want to go 4 corners, that nickel, because there's a lot of wide receivers in the spread. And when you have more speed on the field, you can do more things. I think that's what they were limited with last year. They had so many injuries. Now you bring on Tony, Kyle McMichael, Bryce Watts, along with yes. Trey Morrison, Patrice Rene, Storm Duck, and then you have a whole group of safeties as well. I mean, he's going to be able to do a lot of things. And you can move Grimes around. You can move Trey Morrison around. And having that speed and those smart players will be big for UNC this season. I think it's been really exciting to watch because we didn't get to see that last year. We didn't get to see a full complement of defensive backs, and they'll have this year. All right, Don, is that it? Is there anything else?
Yeah, the one thing I did want to ask you, and this is more of like my own sort of curiosity, is that you in particular were very accommodating. More than accommodating for media. And often you get a 5-star recruit and they get burnt out very quickly by media because you know how it is. I'm just mostly kind of speaking to the listeners. I mean, you're getting like however many schools, probably getting 15, 20 schools that are hammering you constantly. Then you're getting all of their sites, their rival sites, their 24/7 sites, just hammering you, wanting interview requests and everything like that, and texting you, DMing you. You, though, took control of that and used it to your advantage. What? Why? Why'd you do that?
Because it's about visibility, you know what I'm saying, and having the right people speak or paint the scene for my son. It's about having the right people paint the scene for him and speak for him. And I had to cut out a lot of people because there were people writing articles that never interviewed with us. Mm-hmm. They were quoting stuff that we never said. And I made it a point to call these people directly and say, listen, don't you ever in your life call my son or write an article about my son and say we said something that we did not say. You know what I'm saying? Because stuff like that will hurt you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we found out the ones that were there for us and that would help us, and we held true to them. You're one of those guys, Don. You know, I've been, you know, we've been tight from the start now, you know? That's,
you're right. You're there right. You're super helpful.
Don't boost his ego. Don't boost his ego too much.
Oh, man. Look, Don is a fish you like tissue. That's my guy.
I love it.
Did he tell y'all he knew we were going to commit? He didn't even say a word.
Yeah. For
how long?
at least a month. I went up there, and this is after we had done interviews, we had done all this video interviews, all the photos, everything. This is at a camp, which, by the way, Coach Glover, he put on this camp, and he does this regularly, and I think I need to point this out. For these kids, completely free for these kids, Coach Glover gets absolutely nothing from it. No money, no nothing, just, and he's dedicated his time. Nothing. Which is awesome. And his sons aren't even – well, Tito did participate.
Tino did one.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Tony wasn't – Tony came just to do an interview with me. He wasn't even in the camp, which I think is awesome. But anyway, they pulled me to the side, and Coach was like, hey, Tony, you want to go ahead and tell him? And Tony was like, we're committed to North Carolina. And at this point, it was still – at least publicly, it was out there that you guys – we're going to still announce on December 1st, although you guys had kind of toyed with the idea of moving it up. So I was completely shocked. And then, of course you guys said, don't tell anyone, you know, this is the deal. And so, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have lasted. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I wouldn't have lasted if I wasn't trustworthy.
He held it down. God knows he held it down. It's hard because you got the big dog. Everybody call it. Hey, did you hear anything?
Yeah. Well, that's what I got.
What's the word you got?
So many people are like, well, what do you think? What do you think Tony's going to do? And I'm like, I don't think. I know. I kind of like, well, you know, I think North Carolina is definitely in it. You know, I don't want to lie to anyone, but yeah, at the same time, I'm trying to, you know, keep my word. It was difficult for an entire month for the biggest recruit North Carolina has landed. Really, I know that Marvin Austin's ranked higher, but I mean, really, this is the biggest recruit North Carolina has landed probably since I've been covering North Carolina, you know, to be honest, you know? So.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
All right, Coach Glover. I think that's about it. I mean, we could talk to you for a long, long time, but.
We can.
We appreciate your time, and everybody's listening. Make sure you give Coach Glover a follow on Twitter. It's at DH Glover. He needs to give me a follow too, though. But
I don't follow you.
I don't think so. At Ross Martin IC.
Oh man,
you can follow after the interview.
I will. You see that, Ross?
Mask on. Yeah, UNC mask.
Oh, UNC mask. All right.
You see that?
And we're being safe. We're being safe and representing.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, guy. Hey, thanks so much, Coach. It's been awesome. We really appreciate it. We'd love to have you back on down the line.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Let me know, Ross.
This will be out a little bit later this week. All right, Coach Glover, father of Tony Grimes. We'll be right back on The Scoop.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
And we're back on the scoop. Hopefully y'all really enjoyed that interview with Coach Glover. That was awesome. He was a hoot, pretty funny guy, very intense, very passionate, and had tons of great things to say about obviously Tony and the UNC staff and UNC football and directions going in. Don, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I know I say this after every interview, but I do kind of handpick the guys that we have on here just because I know that they're going to be great. But Coach Glover, I've been talking to this guy every week for the past, 6 months or so. And it's always a blast to talk to him, always getting different perspective on things. And it's not just about Tony, whose recruitment was always so, has so much going on. But a bunch of other things. We didn't get into it too much, but he's super involved with that in that area, with the recruits in that area.
Yeah.
And so I was able to kind of find out about guys that really we're going to be learning a lot more about in the coming months, guys that UNC has actually offered. They've offered a bunch of guys for the 22 class. And Coach Glover's connected with all those guys and lets me know about those guys. But yeah, so him coming on, I knew his personality was going to be great for this podcast, and I'm glad he came on.
Yeah, I did want to get into Tidewater stuff, but I feel like we could save that for maybe another time. Not only recruits, but just kind of what football is like there. I mean, obviously I'm not from there. You have to talk about Michael Vick, Ronald Curry, Dre Bly, Allen Iverson. I mean, the talent in that area is incredible. So I'd love to hear what it's like. Is he from there? Did he grow up there?
I'm pretty sure, and this is mostly going off. If you notice, he has a slight, Queens or Brooklyn accent.
Okay.
And so this is just me just guessing because that's not a Tidewater area accent. I'm guessing that he's originally from up there. We've never talked about that.
You said you text him every day and you don't really know where he's from.
You guys saw, we go down different rabbit holes and it's just a matter of what rabbit hole you're going down that day.
We call you official like tissue.
Yeah, that's right. Which I never understood.
Was it official like tissue?
Official like tissue. I never understood that saying.
Yeah, it doesn't really rhyme, so I was trying to figure out official like tissue.
It rhymes, but I haven't heard it in a long time. Coach Glover says it all the time. Okay, what were your thoughts? Did I sell this interview?
He was great. He was great. I mean, he was awesome. Funny. He has some great clips. I mean, as a journalist, you want those passionate, emotional, funny lines, and that's what he provided. You don't want to be boring, Don.
You don't.
And he was not.
And Ross is not boring either. Ross does not live his life being boring.
All right, let's get into it here. We got to close this out here. I want to touch on a couple things. What's left in 2021, Don? Bryson Nesbitt, offensive lineman. What else? Bryson Nesbitt and an offensive lineman. What else is left? Quickly, can you dive
through
that?
That's really it. They will still recruit Ingram Dawkins, the four-star defensive tackle from South Carolina. But for the most part, you fill those two needs and UNC's done. And there's a very good chance that if UNC doesn't get Nesbitt, they won't take a tight end. Oh, let me just throw out kicker. There is a good chance North Carolina could offer another kicker.
And there is some stuff about the Ohio State committed running back, Evan Pryor. Anything there worth? I mean, it said that he hadn't talked to Coach Gillespie in a couple of months or something.
Yeah, I would, to be honest, I would be hesitant in looking too much into that right now. Now, if things progress, continue to progress with North Carolina, then yes. I mean, you know, some of this information came from a source, and Pryor denied all of it. And to be completely honest, I mean, this is a kid who's visited North Carolina a gazillion times. His parents visit North Carolina a gazillion times. So if he was going to make the flip, you know, he would have made the flip already. You know, he doesn't need an official visit. He doesn't need this or that. He knows everything about North Carolina. So what is holding him back? And unless I'm able to get a good answer on that, I'm not going to buy that too much.
All right. And then put the notes here. Sorry about that. And then Gunnar Stockton. I mean, the rumor was that he was the target for UNC in the 2022 class, quarterback from Georgia, I believe.
Yes. It
eliminated UNC and released the top two.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate, North Carolina. One of the ways that they I guess, conduct the recruiting underneath Mac Brown is they try to kind of zero in on one guy as opposed to recruiting a large group of guys and you know, and kind of see who commits first sort of thing. And that's what Phil Longo has really done. Even when you had the situation with Jacoby Criswell, when he was kind of sort of flirting with home state Arkansas, you know, he never offered anybody else. He just set his sights 100% focused on Criswell. And that's what he does for all the other classes. So the good thing is that this is, what, a year and a half before he has to actually sign a quarterback for the 22 class. So he has plenty of time to find someone else that he likes. But it's definitely, you know, this is the guy who's actually been constantly compared to Sam Howe. So for him to eliminate North Carolina is unfortunate.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at UNC, Sam Howell, next 2 years, and then you have Jacoby Criswell, who's talented, and they like, and then you have Drake May. So, you know, take off a cycle or get a guy that may not compete immediately. That's okay. You know, you can't have five-star quarterback unless you're Clemson, but then people transfer. All right, I think that's it. We're going to throw out some ideas for what we want to do with this podcast as recruiting news dwindles down. We've thought about reviewing a movie or a show. Don wants to review Last Chance U. I have not watched it. We also have some ideas about kind of an ask us anything type, you know, take questions from listeners and people on Twitter, non-football related questions, see where that goes. I think that should be interesting as well. Kind of to end the podcast with some off-topic stuff. Don, thoughts?
Yeah, so with the Last Chance U stuff, which you weren't 100% on board with because you apparently
Seen it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I haven't watched it. And we're talking about the most recent episode, most recent season that was released, I think, last week. I'm on episode 3, I think. And there's only 5 or 6. So my thing is Ross and I watch it, and it won't be an entire podcast. It will be kind of sort of like what we did with Tiger King, where towards the end of one, we just kind of talk about it. But I thought what would be great to get the listeners involved is that you guys watch it too. I'm sure some of you have already watched it already or plan on watching it, and just give us some questions, some topics to kind of discuss, and we'll cover it. But we could do the same thing, as you mentioned, with just general non-football recruiting topics.
Okay. Yeah, we will get into that. We'll talk a little off air about what we want to do with that. But I think we'll open up some questions in general because I think it's interesting.
But yeah, if you have topic questions for Last Chance U after you watch it, I've watched the first couple of episodes, and there's a couple of things I think we can definitely talk about. Definitely send them to me on Twitter or on the message board, Don at Don Callahan IC on Twitter, Don Callahan on the message board, or email me don@insidecarolina.com.
All right, guys, remember to rate, review, and subscribe. I've been seeing a lot of the reviews. They're great. Give us a 5-star rating. Write a couple words complimenting Don and our podcast network, and then mash the subscribe button. That helps us out. Also, remember Johnny T-shirt and GiantT-shirt.com. If you're going to get UNC stuff, just like Coach Glover bought a bunch of UNC stuff, we should have given him the promo code because he went to student stores and went. I think he went to Walmart as well. Go to Giant T-shirt. Great deals. Always have sales. Johnny T-shirt, GiantT-shirt.com. That's it for us. Thanks for listening to The Scoop.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.